Hello and welcome to episode 33 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown, and I am joined by the one and only Paul Heaver.
Hello again.
Paul, we are so glad to have you back. This is going to be another amazing, amazing, amazing episode. We're preparing for Worlds, and I wanted to get Paul to spill his guts and his brains, his brilliant brains, upon our minds and tell us where he thinks Imperial Assault is at in terms of what he's doing to prepare for Worlds. So we're going to get to that in a second. But first off, just a few quick logistics. Join us on the Slack channel. Send an email to zionsfinestia@gmail.com. The next person to join our Slack channel is going to be our 100th member, which I think is kind of crazy. But we would love to get everyone on the Slack channel. Support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Zion's Finest. And we would love also to get any 5-star reviews. I would love it if you would give us a 5-star review, but I'd also love it if you would give 5-star reviews to BoardWars.eu, Twin Troopers, and Fully Armed and Operational. Those are the other active IA podcasts right now, and they are all producing such great content. So give them a listen, give them 5-star reviews. But without further ado, I want to turn it over to Paul Heaver to tell us about the state of the meta, preparation for Worlds. The meta is like in a crazy place right now, I think, in an awesome way, right?
Mm-hmm,
like
I agree.
Everything's been winning, right? Brett Kelly won the New Jersey Regional with Han Rangers. It seems like the Unshakable Vader list is pretty ascendant right now. But I mean, truly, like, it seems the meta is wide open. But I just want to see, like, what are your thoughts in terms of, like, where the meta is at? Like, what do you think is going to be the dominant list at Worlds? Just, you know, break it open for us, Paul.
Okay. Well, again, like we were talking before we started, this is all assuming that Wednesday they don't put a giant IA FAQ out that invalidates everything I'm saying here.
That's true.
Which case, yeah, then you can just ignore all this.
Zillow doesn't work. Vader's unfixed.
God, can you imagine if they nerf Zillow?
Like, oh, man.
Oh, my God. That'd be so good.
Game over for Imperial. Sorry,
like,
boys.
Like, if you can... I don't know, like what would be a good... Well, anyway, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole, because you can always go down.
Okay, it's easy. You can only exhaust it to... When you use
you exhaust
Zillow,
it
you
no matter
exhaust
what.
It, yeah. No matter what, either to pitch a card or to pierce, right? So you're only going to do one of those two. If that's it, like,
man,
Zillow
that
has
would,
just gone...
That would be huge.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. As a Rebel player, I very much look forward to that day, but...
Yeah,
it's not there yet.
Zillow is a huge auto-include. I would also love it if they got rid of Temporary Alliance, like, in both directions.
Absolutely. Like, and as long as we're also banning cards, get rid of Devious Scheme. That's my, that's my other card to get rid of.
I guess so, yeah. I could see getting... I don't know. I kind of like Devious Scheme still. But and do something for Ugnaughts, obviously.
Oh,
like, that's the unspoken, obvious thing. And
I want all good things that are not in the Rebel faction to be nerfed. That's it. That's like how that's how I feel about things. But I'm also a partisan. So
okay. So yeah. So for the meta, assuming none of that stuff we were just talking about comes to pass, and it's what we got now, then you're gonna see a lot of Vaders. Everyone loves Vader.
Yeah.
A lot of Han Solos, because everyone loves him too.
Yes, indeed.
Even though he's overrated.
Oh my gosh, I knew you were going to bring that up. It's true. Paul, I've had to like work. I've had to explain to everybody why you're wrong and I'm right about Vader being overrated.
Or Han
and
being
people
overrated.
Believe you. Yeah, Han being overrated.
Han's overrated.
Oh my gosh. All right.
I mean, I could go into like a long detailed description of why Han's overrated.
We'll do it in the end.
Okay.
We'll do it in the end. That'll be the deep dive.
Okay. But you're going to see a lot of Vaders, a lot of Hans. Sadly, I think Scum's kind of on the downswing right now. Like, you don't see a ton of Scum players that I've noticed. I think part of it is because Vader and Han are good. And, Jedi Luke is good. And, like, all these things are good. And people love running the movie characters. And, what do you got? You got IG for Scum as a movie character, a quote unquote movie character.
Yeah, exactly. A very like, quick movie character.
Like if Boba Fett caught a fix recently, then you'd see a ton of Scum players because everybody would love playing Boba Fett.
Great point.
Yeah. Like if Boba Fett was like Han, you'd be like, oh, Boba Fett and a couple Weequays and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. People would be all over that.
Hunter is like, for me, I think of like the hunter trait is just always going to remain like right below the like surface of being overpowered, right? Because mm-hmm. they've got all these cards and the weak ways remain a great platform for everything, right?
Yeah, you are never going to see another good hunter card. Ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Never going to print another
one. Which I'm okay with. Yeah. But yeah, exactly. Good point.
So yeah, you're not going to see a ton of scum, unfortunately. I mean, hunters are still good, but they haven't gotten anything new recently. And so stuff that has gotten new things is going to draw more people to it. So you'll see like Vader and a lot of Imperial stuff. I mean, I was just looking over my my spreadsheet recently, and I was like, wow, all the Imperial cards are really, really good that came out recently, like Jets, Riots, Sentries, ATDP, Palp. They're all amazing good cards. Like you really can't go wrong when you're just shoving whatever you like in Imperials together and throwing, of course, Zillow on top.
And yeah, of course.
And a couple officers just to give you somebody to go hang out by the terminal and pick up boxes and junk.
Let me ask you a question about Vader. So there's been this Vader Unshakable list that has been
running Lucas's around list. Recently. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, Lucas's list. And so we should also like not hashtag, what's the word? Star. Asterisk mark. We should asterisk mark to say that I have heard, and I will not take any sides in this conflict, that James Hedgepeth was the one who came up with that list. But I will not take any sides in this conflict. So you can find it out on the Slack channel. But
I mean, it doesn't really matter who started it or anything, but yeah, that's a really good list too. I want to, cause me and Ira are, and some Julian too, are in the area around here together. And so one of these days before Worlds, we're going to sit down and we're going to just do all the Vader mirror matches in the world to try to figure out which one of the different Vader lists we like best. You know, which one does the best in the mirror matches and things like that. Cause I mean, Palp is still pretty fun. When you get those turns where you're just like, okay, Vader attacks and I lightning bolt you guys over there. Yeah. And I pinged that other dude over there. And by the way, I played Disorient when I played the ping on that guy who was focused. And there's so many awesome things you can do with him. But like all those, like I was saying, all those cards are good cards. Like, you can just play whatever you like best. Unfortunately, I think the Vader double sentries list that I liked a lot is not the best Vader list. But it's fun. It was really fun when Vader first came out. So people weren't really used to it. And they were like, oh, my God, I got to kill Vader. And then they figured out halfway through the game they weren't going to kill Vader. And meanwhile, the sentries killed everything of their list. But now everyone knows. Hey, when we sit down against, I mean, this goes for Han too, or any of the lists with a to use the term from the previous podcast, a queen character.
That's right. Thank you, Ben Barnum.
Yeah, to use that term, basically, when you sit down and you see you're going against a list with one of those like key, you know, double digit point characters, you go, huh, can I kill everything that's not that guy and points off the board to get enough points to win? Like, against the Vader list, you need to get 12 to 14 points off the board, depending on if he's running Jets or Riots or something like that. So 12 points is super easy. You're like, oh, I'm going to pick up three of the Nal Hutta shield generators. Then you do not touch Vader. You don't attack Vader. Like, you literally don't bother with Vader. Pretend he's not there. Same thing with Han. That's one of the reasons why Han is overrated, by the way, because you could be like, whatever, Han, I'm not going to attack you. And so 1/3 of your attacks just fall right off. They don't happen because I'm attacking everything that's not you and scoring, you know, 10, 12 points off the board. When Han's only doing two attacks a turn, he's nowhere near worth the points as when he's doing three.
Well, I see. That's a really good point. I do feel like, I mean, I feel like that is the trap that people fall into with Han, playing against Han, is they attack him when, if you're not going to one-shot Han or two-shot, but like, if you're not going to put some serious, serious, serious hurt on Han and don't have a way to control on the land or things like that, you just should not attack him. Right.
Yep.
Like, why would you give him a free attack? Right. You're not going to kill him. And all you're going to do is set yourself up for a later attack on which you will have on the WAM, right? So, that's, it, I mean, it's a good point. It's a great point.
Yep. So yeah, that's going to be a big thing against any of those big double-digit point characters. But most of the lists that people play nowadays have those in it. I mean, I do see some people playing double jets, double riots.
Yeah.
That's a strong list, too. Whenever I tried it against Ira's Vader list, and Vader just was like, oh, okay, I'll just one-shot this and then one-shot that. And I'm just that's what Vader does.
That's it. That's Vader power
and,
right
and,
there.
And your riots have to walk up to Vader and be like, hey, Vader. Oh, look, I weakened you. Okay, well, you just rolled 8 damage against me. Oh.
Yeah, exactly. And that's assuming they even, like, do damage to him, right? Like, it's not unreasonable. Like, it's not easy for them to put damage on Vader.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
like, so
you,
they can't even get
you
the
do
weakening
okay.
Position.
You do okay getting damage into him, but, like, he takes 1 or 2 damage. Again, you just have to kind of ignore him and go kill everything else. And because I tried killing him. I was like, I got like 8 dudes that shoot things. I can, or that hit things pretty hard with my jets and my riots. I could take Vader out. No, the answer was no, I could not take Vader out. Yeah. Not with Palpatine pinging and blowing up things and hitting his own Vader and not caring because he's doing more damage to my guys. Yeah.
So the play against Vader, as we've talked about this before, but the play against Vader is go for the jets, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So let's say that you have got your let's say you're running a Vader, the Vader Palp double jets list. Okay, mm-hmm. Let's say you're playing that and you're playing on Mos Eisley, and their Vader comes to the middle because he just wants to force a confrontation. And let's say that he's running the Unshakable Vader with 1 set of E riots, double jets. He's coming to the middle because he just wants to force the issue. Do you flank? Do you like pincer? Do you just like move everyone to one side? Like what's the play there?
Oh man, that's actually a really good question. I'm not sure. The answer is I'm not sure yet because I haven't sat down with Ira to run multiples of these games. But
okay.
But yeah, no. Whoever has the answer to that question is going to end up winning worlds.
That's true. That's true. Good point.
But yeah, it's like you were saying in the previous podcast, controlling the center is a huge thing in IA. Like that's where all the points are, and if you can get Vader off of there, I don't know how you get Vader off of there without killing him. But like if you have the Palpatine list, you might go all in on killing Vader and just be like, well, I hope he doesn't have all his shenanigans to push me away and take parting blows and stuff in his hand.
Yeah.
Because with good Palpatine, point. I'm going to get more attacks on your Vader than you are on my Vader. So maybe you win that fight.
I hadn't thought of that, but that is true. That's going to be an interesting combination because he does have to be very careful about where he puts his Vader because you're going to be able. Yeah, that's interesting. Now, man, I'm going to have to think about that now.
Yeah, your Vader, assuming he doesn't do extra attack shenanigans off of his command deck, then your Vader does get more attacks than his Vader, thanks to Pal.
Yeah, that's true. And it's guaranteed, too, as opposed to like needing the wombo combo, right?
Yeah.
Like, if their Vader gets next to your Vader, you've got a free attack.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's interesting. Okay, so that's I was going to ask about matchups. Obviously, that is a little bit of matchup discussion. Do you have any other thoughts in terms of like what do you think is strong against certain things as opposed to other things? Like for example, like besides these Imperial fist fights that we're going to be having.
Yeah.
Like, do you think that Rebels are strong against Imperial, Scum are strong? Like, how do you think that matchup breaks down?
Well, I think there's kind of like this interesting little circle going on, like a rock, paper, scissors kind of thing, where Vader is good against, say, Ugnaughts. And Ugnaughts, oh God. So I tried playing an Ugnaught swarm against Ira's Vader list, and I got Onar's bonus attack card and IG-88's Blaze of Glory card. And still, both those characters ended up dying. I got Vader down to 2 health by that point, and like a couple other guys, jet troopers died on the way in, and like Palpatine super died on the way in because I sent everything to Palpatine, all those little stupid little droids at Palpatine. But like I'm like, okay, Vader, you're at 2 health, and you're within like 4 squares of all of my Ugnaughts. So, and Vader already activated and killed Onar, I think, that turn to do that. So I'm like, okay, Number one activates. Junk droid attacks Vader. The Ugnaught shoots Vader, creates a junk droid. The junk droid goes and attacks Vader. So there was like three attacks on Vader. Obviously nothing happened. And then I just went down the line and all six of my Ugnaughts had three attacks each into Vader. The 18th attack was what did the second point of damage to Vader and killed him.
Oh my gosh. So
that was with IG-88's card and Onar's card and like just having 18 attacks on Vader at the end of a round, and I finally killed him. So I ended up winning that game, but still, that required a lot of command card stuff and some luck.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I haven't seen a ton of Ugnaughts against Vader. I saw a few games on Brett Kelly's Twitch stream, but not a ton. Mm-hmm. And I just think, man, you have got to be real brave to be taking an Ugnaught list to Worlds right now, because I do think you're going to do really good against most Rebel lists, and I do think you'll be very good against most. Yeah.
That is the next part of the rock, paper, scissors, is Ugnaughts go, your list doesn't have two black dice or twice as many health as you do points, because both Riots and Jets are both 14 health for 7 points.
Yeah, so that's insane.
So that's kind of rough. And so when you go up against the Rebel lists, which are, you know, roughly like 1.6 times as much health as they have points, and rolling a white die, and you're like, oh, the Ugnaughts have no problems with that. They will cut through. They'll be like, hey, Han, I hit you. Do you want to hit me back? Oh, no, you killed my junk droid.
Yeah, exactly. You wasted your very powerful attack. I think that, so we've been talking about this on the Slack channel with Han Rangers. I think Han Rangers is going to be unbelievably dominant at Worlds, because I just think and I've got my own reasons for that, which we can go into when you tell me that Han is overrated. But we were talking about Han versus Ugnaughts, and what I've seen good Ugnaught players do is they use their Ugnaught to first kill C-3PO, and then they proceed to just eat everything else that is in, you know, the Rebel list.
Yep.
And
so you kill C-3PO first almost always. Yeah.
Yeah. Because like, why not? Right. Like you've got low risk attacks that you're doing. You're going to kill him in 1 to 2 attacks. Or, I'm sorry, 2 to 3 attacks. And like, even if he dodges, you're like, so what? I've got all these attacks coming at you for days. And then Han loses his cunning. Right. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, like, you're off to the races. And the problem is, can those Rangers pick off enough Ugnaughts before they go down? And I think the answer is no. But I don't really know. I haven't seen that matchup played very much, so I don't know how that's going to break down.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Ugnaughts will win that matchup more than they lose.
Well, I mean, if they're on Raining Freight, they like auto-win, right?
And yeah, so, it is also nice to have a 1-in-6 chance of just auto-winning your round. Can you imagine if the finals of Worlds is Raining Freight and one of the lists is Ugnaughts? You're just like, oh, well then.
I will have words to say with FFG.
But yeah, the second thing was, Ugnaughts beat the Rebels. And the Rebels do a fairly good job on Vader because they can usually punish melee characters with their extended range sniping abilities and stuff like that. So, and Han, or the better choice, which is Stole Jedi Luke. But
actually, I'm sure Brett Kelly's happy to hear that.
Yeah, I still like Jedi Luke a lot better than Han. But
yeah,
it's fine. You can play Han if you want.
That's it. Well, that's interesting. And the other thing, I think kind of with Han Rangers, it's kind of funny to group them this way, but like Scum Hunters and Han Rangers kind of like fill a similar place in the meta, right? Like these long range shots, they can do a lot of damage to Jets. And, you know, cause that's the backbone of these Imperial lists, is these double Jets.
Yeah.
But Jets need to get close in order to get their value, in order to do like all their wombo combos.
Yeah. All the Imperial units have to just charge you.
Your
sentries want to get close to double shot. Your Jets have to get close to get their extra die. Your Riots obviously have to get close because they can't attack otherwise. Palpatine wants to do his lightning bolts. Vader wants to be there. Like, if you're playing Imperial, you want to rush the opposing side, which is, again, why they do fairly well against Ugnaughts, because that was your plan anyway, no matter what list you were playing, is to rush. So, the Hunter lists, either the Rebel version or the Scum version, like you said, like it when your opponents are just running at you and not doing anything on the first turn other than weathering fire.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So yeah, yeah. I think the third faction there is the hunters. Like you get a couple you get a double elite Weequay and focus two of them, and Vader rolls up to you and you're like, I could probably take him. Or or the smarter thing is you take everything else and your either your hired gun or your alliance smuggler is walking around being like, I've got two boxes and I'm getting 4 points a turn, and oh look, I guess I just won because I killed everything that's not Vader and scored my 14 points.
So, and when you say score your 14 points, what you're meaning is those are the 14 points you got to get from objectives, right?
Yes.
As opposed to the 26 points that you're going to get from killing all of everything besides Vader.
Yes. Yeah. You have to sit down, and the first thing you do whenever you sit down is, and this is something that I see people don't do very regularly, is you have to have a plan of how am I going to win? Where am I scoring my points? Am I killing, like, am I getting rid of Vader? Am I, you know, whatever that you're facing against, like, because presumably you're not killing all 40 points of their list.
Yeah,
that might be your plan, to kill all 40 points of their list and not get any points off of objectives. I guess that's the Ugnaught plan for some of these things. Like,
yeah.
They're not running out to go claim shield generators, for example. You know, what is your plan? And then hopefully that plan works out, or, you know, you might have to change your plan later on. But for the most part, you're going to plan around how many points do I need to get off of the board versus how many points do I get from killing people? And then, try to make that happen. Because your opponent also, assuming they're, you know, intelligent, has come up with a similar plan that they want to do. And then that's the fun part of the game.
This could send us on a very, very, very long tangent, which so I don't want to like take us all the way down this road. But the question is let's say you're at 16 points, your opponent is at 21 points. In order to win the game, obviously, and let's assume you're not going to get to 40, like you're going to get one more round out, and then that's going to be it, and it's going to be whoever has the most points wins.
Oh, I hate it when time determines. Like I'm the big guy who complains about on every one of those threads that come up in the forums, and I'm like, just play faster, guys.
Yeah,
get your four turns in.
I'm a big fan of the fast play, but you know, I've noticed, like, it just seems like not the games have slowed down, but just like there's a lot of ways to keep figures on the board longer than there used to be, right? It used to be like things just kind of got picked off, and I don't know, maybe that's not the case, but so the question is, so let's say you're down by 4 or 5 points. Okay, we'll pose this in the sense of a hypothetical. You're on Jabba's palace. You control the middle stash.
Mm-hmm.
Your opponent controls the top and bottoms. So the top stash in the like the big open room and the stash in the pit.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, so your opponent has got 8 points to your 4 points that he's going to be getting, and he's up by 5 points. You'll say you've traded roughly similar on material. Is your strategy at this point, so you're at a disadvantage, right? Like, because they've got more points,
sure.
Like they're looking at more points than you. Is your strategy at this point to make a gamble and try to remove something in order to do a tempo swing? Or are you more of the mindset that, no, I want to like be conservative with and not risk completely blowing this game, right? Because if you try and do something like gutsy, you know, send Vader to go kill their Vader. Yeah, I don't know. Like something like that, right? Toss Vader down to the pit to kill an Ija. I don't know.
Toss Vader down the pit.
Yeah, don't ever do that. But, you know, something like that. Are you of the mindset that if the game is winnable, but you're at a disadvantage, do you think like you should be willing to take more risks? Or are you more of the mindset that no, you should like conserve your resources and wait to see if your opponent makes a mistake? Like, what is your like general mindset when you're approaching a situation like that? We're at the end of round two, and that's kind of where we're at. What do you
think? Okay, and we're thinking, we're at the end of round two, and we might not get to the fourth round. Like,
yes,
okay.
we've both got a Vader on the board, and we'll say two jets, and we've each got two jets. And each got one E-Riot, right? So, I mean, we're similar on material. Maybe you're down an officer, so you are at a slight disadvantage, but it's not like grossly disproportionate.
Sure, you're at a very slight material disadvantage and a bigger board disadvantage because he's got two of the things to your tier one. You know, his officer won the officer fight in the pit. So
yes, exactly.
Okay,
right.
Okay, cool. I would think, I mean, I think you have to take risks at that point. Like,
okay,
I'm always thinking that if you're behind, that's when you have to start making the riskier plays. That's certainly true in X-Wing.
Yes.
So like in X-Wing, if you're behind, you go, well, I got to go for this shot that if it connects and kills off his guy who rolls all blanks on his defense die, then I'll end up like getting back into this game. Otherwise if the game continues at this rate, I'm just going to lose slower, you know?
Yeah.
So I think in Imperial Assault, it's kind of similar. Like if you're at a point where you're slowly losing, if you just keep doing that, you're still going to lose. There's no
point.
Reason to conserve MOV. Like it's a strength of schedule game. So like if you lose 40 to nothing somehow, I mean I don't know how you do that, but if you lose 40 to nothing, then you still get the same result as if you lose 40 to 39. So
yeah.
So I would say you take the bigger risks. Like you don't go stupid. Like you don't
you don't
go like, "Oh, well, I gotta throw Vader down the pit to go kill this officer." But but you definitely have to figure out, okay, what is my out? Like, what do I got to do here? I'm down, whatever, 6 points, and from him having an extra thing, and from me being down an officer, so I'm down 6 points. So where am I gonna get these 6 points back from? I gotta force him off of one of these two spots, and I gotta kill an extra jet that he doesn't kill of mine. So you got to come up with a game plan for that and hope your command card's holding you out and that, like, they have something useful to help you get that, to push them off. Maybe, you know, you save a dark energy to, instead of doing some crazy shenanigans with it, to just push a guy as your last move when Vader goes to just be like, boop, you're off the thing now.
Yeah, I guess that's true, because it's 4 points, right, that, like, you wouldn't get otherwise. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. See, I used to be much more risk adverse, but I wonder if that was just because more of like my list building choices. You know, like if you're running Fragile Rebels, you have to be very, very careful with every risk that you took.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, you even had this kind of conversation when you're talking about Rebels, especially. Like you have a lot of Rebels that don't really help you kill things as much.
Yes.
Like Hera can still help. She's one of the few that like is a support character that can do damage, but like Gideon does a surprising amount of damage for when he does finally get into the fight. But you're not using your Gideon or your C-3PO or like whatever random droid you might be walking around with.
Yeah.
I still like Chopper.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. You do. But Mac is a great example of that. Like Mac is never, ever, very rarely gonna do damage, right? Yeah. Like he's there to do something else.
Yeah, you're hoping he gets like one damage in on some poor guy to make him discard a card. Like
That's right. That critical hit. That's it. Yeah, exactly. Good point.
Yeah. That's definitely a mindset difference between people who play a lot of Rebels versus a lot of Imperials. The Imperial players are just like, my guys have hit points. They're gonna die. Whatever. And
send them in.
It's the Imperial doctrine there. Like just And
rule by fear, rule by swarm. Yeah.
And the Rebels are like, well, if I lose one of my my Rangers in my like Han Rangers list, that's like a quarter of the guys who do damage my
team. Yeah, exactly. I think about the same thing. Like Hera as a linchpin to those lists does something very, very similar, right? Where it's like if Hera goes down in a Rebel list, especially a Rebel Han Rangers list, it does so much to take away the value of those guys because they lose their ability to be flexible, right? Like you have to be more crazy about committing them, and man, it gets real scary real fast.
She's a very key character.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm glad to kind of pick your brain about that, but we can move on from our state of the meta. I want to ask you about, it sounds like you've been playing a lot of Imperials, that you and Ira continue to adhere to your Imperial loyalty.
Yeah. I've been trying a bunch of different stuff, trying to basically get more games in on the new map more than anything else, because I still haven't mastered that map. The ATDP is super fun on that map.
Yeah. I
tried playing a list with an ATDP and, four officers and like some jets, I think jets or riots or, you know, some, whatever random other junk in there. And Ira noticed after four activations, I still have, you know, I just moved the officers only. And he was like, you just moved like seven of your units forward because I'm just constantly moving the ATDP along and pushing people in front of them like a big old snowplow.
Yes, I love it.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, it's actually the ATDP, I think, is I think it is underrated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the problem with Imperials is they've just got so many great things at this point, right?
Yeah,
and so like ATDP, you're like, why would I do that when I can do Palp, right? Or Vader, you know, like things like that.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, the ATDP is a fun unit, and like it does it kind of fills a different role from a lot of the other, cuz like I said before, the Imperials are all about rushing, like all their guys rush forward. And the ATDP, he kind of likes standing back and taking a double snipe on some poor guy and like letting everybody else lead the way. And so he's still a pretty cool unit and his numbers are great. But yeah, it's just everybody's numbers in Imperial are great. So it's.
Yeah, exactly. He's awesome.
Yeah.
He's very, very awesome.
Yeah. So basically, my playtesting has been, on the new map, like, hey, let's try this list again. And I don't expect the first time I played a list to beat the Vader list that I was been playing for, you know, months on end. But I do like wanted to see how it does against it and if it seems like it's gonna be like worthwhile to continue trying to tweak the list and maybe figure out better command cards and so on and so forth. And so far I have not found a Rebel list that I like. Like the best I like is the old like Luke Rangers list, which I'm like, that's like the same stuff people have been playing for a while now. And there's new things that came out. I love Drakata. Like he's definitely my favorite out of all the new stuff that's been coming out. But I haven't found a place where I really like him yet.
Yeah.
Like he likes getting in the mix of things, and that isn't really the strength of the Rebel lists. Like having a guy run forward and get in the way and block line of sight for the Rangers doesn't seem like a smart.
Don't do that. Yeah.
So I'm trying to find a good spot for him. And if I find a good spot for Drakata, then I might try him out some more. But trying out some just stuff with the new cards or, you know, new in quotations, I guess, cards, since it isn't really that new anymore. But trying to figure out if there's anything that really gives us such a run for our money that we don't run a Vader list of some variety at Worlds.
That's going to be interesting. I obviously think most of that playtesting is probably going to come down to testing against Vader lists, right? And so, like, seeing, because I feel like that is going to be, everything else is kind of a known quantity in terms of, like, you know what Hunt Rangers are going to do.
Yeah, you've played against Ranger lists for over a year now. You know how they work.
Yeah, exactly. But playing against, like, these, because it seems like the Vader lists just keep getting tweaked, right? Like it was, you know, your Vader double sentries and then Vader double jets kind of came to the fore at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then it was Vader Palp, you know, and like other things. And then it was double jets, double riots was for a brief time like a big thing. Then the ATDP, right? Like it just seems like the Imperial meta just like keeps moving. And now like this Unshakable Vader. I've seen Unshakable Vader. One of our local guys, Scott Nielsen, he ran Unshakable Vader when I was running all of my stuns.
That has been great.
Yeah, I mean, that was like why he said I need this, because, you know, Kenny's got 4 million people who are going to stun me. So, like, I've seen that before, but now it's really coming into its own, it seems like, and a lot of people have been playing it.
Yeah.
And so, I think it's super solid, but, you know, it's just interesting because it just seems like the meta just keeps rolling for Imperials and that there's always like this new thing that's coming up.
Yeah.
So.
And I haven't seen the Rebels or the Scum really move in that same kind of manner. Like, like I said, the
Han Rangers, Han, right?
Yeah. You got Han instead of Luke, which isn't really that big of a difference. I mean, your command cards change a lot, obviously, but you're still already going to be running, you know, hunter cards and everything, assassinate and everything. And meanwhile, on the Scum side, like, what did you get? You got Claudites? Who cares?
It's true.
The Claudites are cool. I love that triple form thing, but I'm gonna put it out there, and I'm gonna say Claudites are not going to be on the final table at Worlds this year.
I definitely think I concur.
I'm taking that stretch. And so, yeah, scum lists have not changed at all. And I think that's, like I said earlier, why a lot of people aren't really playing it. I mean, they'll break it out for Worlds if they think it'll win, but I don't think scum's going to win against the new hotness that people have been playing. So we've been practicing just all the new stuff, and I still really like where all the Imperials are at and how they're going.
Yeah.
I think they're like you said, they're the ones that are innovating and coming up with new lists when you don't see that too much. Whoever comes up with like an amazing Rebel list that we haven't seen before, that guy is going to crush us all at Worlds.
Oh, all right. Well,
but
we'll have to see about that. I trust in Brett Kelly, so we'll see. He's committed to playing he's committed to playing Rebels.
Oh,
so
wow. Okay.
I'm holding him to that, Brett. You cannot take that back.
No backsies.
Yeah, exactly. No backsies. It's a contract. Valid. Don't make me sue you. So yeah, I do think that's interesting. So now this is the question that I've been wanting to ask. At this point, let's say that Worlds is tomorrow, and you're taking Vader plus something, right? Let's just say let's just assume that, you know, that's where you think it's at. What is the thing that you are most afraid of on seeing the other side of the table? Vader?
No, Vader versus Vader just annoys me more than anything else.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, oh, this is going to be determined by who ends up rolling, like...
Who high rolls.
Yeah, who ends up rolling, like, double ones on their red dice. And, because, oh, man, it's so hilarious when, like, a Vader comes up to somebody and just on his end of turn thing and rolls, like, double ones, and you're like, I guess I block it. Like, you re-roll your one into a two or something like that, and you're like, oh, I do four. And you're like, okay, I block it with a Zillow and a three. Okay. Thanks, Vader.
Oh, yeah. Feel bad. That's a feel bad.
Yeah, that's there. Awful when you're like, I should have just force choked you for the two.
That's true. Oh, that's a good point.
But yeah, like Vader versus Vader mirror, that's one of the main reasons, one of the only things causing me to be like, oh, maybe I don't want to play Vader at Worlds. Because like a lot of your Imperial lists that you're facing against are going to, obviously, they're going to have a plan against Vader, and they're going to, like, and their plan is probably going to be kill everything that's not Vader and hope to win, like, via that. But they're also, there's going to be a lot of Vaders, and the Vader mirror match is not super enjoyable, which is why me and Ira have put it off for so long. But we do have to sit down and try to figure out what our plans are and different maps and all that stuff in case we do play Vader and we do the Vader mirror match and all that fun stuff. But what I don't want to face is some crazy rogue list with Rangers and stuff, or Rebel list, not rogue list, Rebel list with Rangers and stuff played by like Brett Kelly.
Exactly.
There's somebody out there who is like a diehard Rebel player and is got his friend who's a diehard Vader player and is coming up with some crazy plan that does not involve stunning, because your crazy plan used to involve stunning and then Untouchable happened or whatever. What is the stupid card I don't?
Unshakable.
That's it. Not Untouchable. Vader's Untouchable though.
Oh great.
But yeah, no, Unshakable happened, and now because like you said, the innovation still is happening in the Imperialists as they're answering to the people who are trying to find answers to them. And so that's interesting. They just fight against one another and just happen to take out a lot of random stuff along the way.
Yeah, that's a good point. I want to transition into just like general Worlds advice. It feels like we've definitely gone round the bend on the meta, but is there anything else that you want to say in terms of like where we're at? Any advice for people as they're preparing for Worlds from like a meta and gameplay sense? Obviously, like everything we've talked about is applicable, but is there anything else that we haven't touched on that you'd?
I mean, like, okay, you obviously there's the big one of turn zero, like know what your plan is against Vader lists, against Ranger lists, or any kind of Hunter type list, because there's still going to be people playing Hunters, like Scum Hunters or Rebel Rangers. So have a plan against the two of them. Have a plan against Ugnaughts unless they're nerfed on Wednesday.
Good point.
In which case, then you can throw that plan out. I would have said start playtesting already, but who knows? Maybe there's going to be a giant nerf coming up because FFG loves doing giant nerfs 3 weeks before Worlds.
That's true.
Which very much annoys me because, like, my Worlds preparation starts, like, 6 weeks out. That's when I draw the line. And so
that's when you start getting serious.
That's when I start, like, thinking about lists and stuff for X-Wing and Imperial Assault and getting, like, putting my nose down and trying to figure out everything. And then these, like, three-week FAQs just ruin everything. But anyway.
Well, Paul, you're the one. You've got way more sway with FFG than we do. So it sounds like you need to write a letter.
I did, in fact, tell them, one of these times that because at Adepticon there was a big thing like, oh, one of the designers said there's a FAQ coming for Armada. So everyone on the Armada forums was going like, oh my God, there's a FAQ coming. Maybe that's going to, you know, answer this and hit that and do, you know, so of course they start guessing what it is because like multiple people heard the designer say this, which I'm like, for one thing,
What are they doing?
What kind of choice was that for the designer to make? He must have said, oops, I really shouldn't have said that, like right after he said it. But but then, like, of course, everyone else on all the other things are like, oh, well, Armada's talking about a big fact that they said they're sure is coming because the designer said something. I wonder if we're going to get it one. And then, of course, Destiny got their fact, and then Armada got theirs. And so, like, I'm like,
Armada got a massive
fact,
Armada's
too. Armada is a great fact. I love theirs. But that's, you know, besides the point. So then I let them know via my secret, like, world champion channels.
That's right.
I was like, listen, if you guys have a fact coming, you need to invent a time machine, go back, like, a week or two, and release it. Because
that's exactly right.
Like, what are you guys doing? Don't do the Jumpmaster, like, Deadeye thing that you did, what was it, like, 2 years ago. Where they released a fact 2 weeks before Worlds or whatever saying, oh, Deadeye, by the way, you can't play that list.
Like, yep. Like that was huge.
Yeah, and people are, like, they have their lists ready for X-Wing, for Imperial Assault, probably for Armada, too. Like, well before these fact dates are happening, because you know, once you bought your plane ticket and everything, you're like, okay, this is real. I need to prepare for
I'm
this.
I'm locked in at this point. Yeah, exactly.
So, I probably went on a pretty long rant about that, but prepping.
So prepare for the fact.
Yeah, prepare for the fact. Just don't do anything until like 3 weeks beforehand, apparently. But after that, you have to really get serious and play all the maps. Learn where you can hide on the first turn. Learn where you can't hide on the first turn on the different maps, like, you know, all the standard basic stuff. Of map analysis and like, what lists are you going to be strong against? What lists are you going to punt against? Like if you're like, oh, well, I don't care about the Ugnaught lists because, you know, I just don't plan on facing them. I plan on just list dodging them in the matchup phase. Then sure, you can just be like, whatever, I'm just going to punt to them, or I'm just going to, like, hope they're bad and they walk out of their deployment zone. And
exactly.
Like, maybe they'll do that. And so then, yeah, you then don't come up with, like, don't put resources in your list for really, really, really bad matchups. Like, just turning a really, really bad matchup, like an auto loss, into a probably auto loss if they're good. Like,
that's an interesting point.
There's no real reason to do that. But if you have, like, a bad matchup that's, like, you're like, I'm unfavored in this matchup, but I can put this stuff in, and that'll turn me from unfavored to at least a coin flip. Maybe I become favored, especially if I practice the hell out of this matchup. Like, if you're like, my list is bad against Han Rangers. Okay, maybe I sneak in a couple spies in my list somehow so I can cancel on the Lamb now. And I practice the hell out of that list. And I practice against that list consistently, then so I know exactly what I'm doing. Trust me, your Han Ranger opponent at Worlds has not practiced against your crazy spy list that you're playing.
Such a great point.
Yeah, so if you show up with a list that is a little off the beaten path, like there's that your opponent has not practiced against it, and you have, hopefully. Like, if you show up with the off-the-beaten-path list and you have not practiced against the meta list, then you're just wasting your time, because
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the whole point of this is I have a ton of practice against your meta list, and you don't have a ton of practice against my off-the-beaten-path list. Like, yeah.
And meta lists are meta lists because they are efficient or they do things that are really, really good, yeah. Right? That just, like, give them a natural advantage.
Yeah, in a neutral setting, like, neither player has practiced or done anything, and they're both roughly similarly skilled, the meta list will beat the non-meta list. But yeah. That's why you practice a bunch and you go, okay, I know this matchup, what order I have to kill things in, what order he has to kill things in, and let's hope he doesn't because he doesn't realize it. Yeah. So play a bunch of games, obviously, against your bad matchups and try to figure out how to make them not bad.
So turn bad turn kind of bad matchups into like neutral matchups, and then just figure out what maps or matchups you're gonna punt on.
Yeah,
and just don't throw good money after bad.
Yeah, yeah. Like if you're gonna lose to Ugnaughts, just accept your fate.
That's a good. I like that. I actually really do like that. I think that's extremely helpful for people. Is like, you know, you should not plan on your really bad matchup being Vader, right? Like
that's
your bad matchup, then we have trouble. Like, but like, that's a
you're not going to see a ton of Ugnaught lists because their bad matchup is Vader, and they better have a good plan against Vader. Like if you play an off the beaten path Ugnaught list and you have a great plan against Vader. Which case, then congratulations on your world's victory.
That's right. Game over. Yeah. I love that. So for a lot of us, like for me, this is my first time going to Worlds. Do you have any logistical advice as a long time? They should name a street in Roseville after Paul Heber.
Sure.
Do you have any advice for people who are going to be coming for the first time?
The best place to stay is the Radisson right near the place.
Okay.
So that's a good spot to hang out at and stay at if you can. Mainly because that's where most everyone stays at, so you get to hang out with people. A lot of the event, like assuming you're not just showing up Tuesday and Wednesday or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and then instantly leaving.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the fun of the event is hanging out with people and being like, wow, there's like 100 people here playing Imperial Assault. So that's a ton of people who are, you know, similarly interested in the game, and you get to hang out with them and talk to them and, you know, comment on games and like exchange drinks and stuff and throw your random doodads that you made and alt arts and stuff. Like, that's a huge thing in X-Wing for some reason. I don't know why. But people love, like, making their own little alt arts and trading them with people and doing all that, like button trading and stuff like that in other hobbies. But regardless, like, yeah, the social aspect is a huge thing of going to Worlds. It's great for that. But yeah, logistics-wise, bring a bottle of water and drink as much water as you physically can.
Okay.
They have a water fountain on site, so you can refill your water bottle in between each round. You're going to pee a lot, obviously, doing that, but, you know, whatever.
It's a price you pay.
Yeah. For X-Wing, after every round, I go to the bathroom and go to the water fountain and go back to playing X-Wing. So...
What days are you playing X-Wing?
Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Imperial Assault on Wednesday, obviously, since we only got one day, unlike most of the other games. then hopefully more Imperial Assault on Thursday.
Because you'll make top 16.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
If not, then I'll play the multiplayer Imperial Assault, I guess, which is probably super fun. Like, I know Ira had nothing but good things to say about that, so... If you don't make the top 16 in Imperial Assault, which is going to be 84 of us, go play in that side event, because 4-player free-for-all, how often do you get to do that? Not very.
Yeah, and with good players.
Yeah.
That'll be a ton of fun.
Yeah, and then, Friday X-Wing, and hopefully more Saturday X-Wing.
Perfect. That's awesome. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Paul, do you have any more amazing tidbits, pearls of wisdom you want to drop on our brains?
Healthy snacks are good, too. Don't just eat, like, random high sugar stuff that you have a crash afterwards.
What is your healthy snack of choice?
Pistachios, pre-shelled pistachios, because nobody has time to shell pistachios in the middle of Worlds. So
yeah, you, no one ain't got time for that. Yeah.
So yeah, pistachios and water are my big thing.
Cool. Very, very cool. Well, is there anything else? Any other advice, tidbits, anything you got for us?
I think that should be good for you guys. Eat the special grilled cheese at Worlds. They have their.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Yeah, they have two types of grilled cheese sandwiches. One is the like generic, hey, this is cheese and bread, and the other one is like these are like a couple different kinds of cheese and some bacon, and it's very tasty.
Okay, so special grilled cheese.
Yeah, and I guess if you're a beer drinker, there's a ton of beers at Worlds too. I'm not, but. They have a bunch of alcohol on tap, which the X-Wing players like.
That's right. And we encourage our opponents to get tipsy in order to facilitate our victories.
Play all the drinking games you want in Imperial Assault. Go right ahead. I will not stop you.
That's right. You will. Awesome. Well, we want to thank Paul for coming on, taking time to let us know how things are going in the month leading up to Worlds. Man, that's crazy.
Isn't it only like 3 weeks at this point?
Yeah, we are like I'm flying out in
3 weeks from
3
tomorrow.
Weeks plus a day. Yeah, so that, it's going to be crazy. So, I mean, I think we can expect to see if anyone is on Vassal, you will see probably a few more iterations of Imperial lists. If you're on the Slack channel, we're constantly talking about where like these little tidbits. We recently got Lucas Davidson and James Hedgepeth on the Slack channel, and they
I
are
probably
like,
should join that at some point, shouldn't I?
Get on, Paul. Then you can see.
I hate Slack.
Well, you'll love our Slack. We have tons of fun. We have a Slack bot that every time anyone mentions Legion, it says we have a Slack bot that automatically generates Legion sucks and is the worst. All in all caps. It's the best. We have tons of fun. That's like a great snapshot into the Slack channel. We're talking about lists. Someone brings up Legion and the Slack bot tells us that it sucks. So we have a lot of fun. I have loved having you on, just like to kind of rehash these things is like people are preparing to go to Worlds. I think it's really important that everybody do what you're saying in terms of lock down your lists and especially lock down your matchups against the big meta lists, Han Rangers, Vader, and all of his different friends. You know, a little bit of like, I think you should think about it in terms of Vader and company and Hunters. Like those are going to be the things that like will just kind of do a lot to define the Worlds meta. And you got to know about, and I think the other big thing you said there was no safe places on maps, right? Like have an understanding in terms of like, where are the objectives? Where do you need to hide? And that will go a long way towards helping.
And how many objective points do you need to get? Because after you get enough for your whatever your plan is, extra objective points don't really help you as much.
Yeah, it's a good
like,
point.
If you're like, oh, I only need 12 and then kill everything that's not Vader, get your 12 and then get that stupid... little hired gun dude off of there and go out and shoot an officer with him. Like, don't go chasing extra points that you might or might not get.
Yeah.
Like that way. Help out with your main plan, I think, is a better thing. Although, actually, killing an officer is less than just getting another 4 points. So maybe I'm wrong about that one.
Well, I mean, like, I think the example is, think about in terms of, especially in the late game, every action you have becomes incredibly precious.
Oh, yeah, very.
And so if your game plan was, I'm going to get, you know, 26 points off of, or I'm going to get 12 points of objectives, right? If that was your game plan, then you've got to think, if I'm going to alter my game plan, right? Like, you don't just have these actions that you can just willy-nilly burn.
Yeah, at that point, you're like, I get 16 points from objectives and I don't bother killing the two officers.
Yeah.
Like, at which point, like, you have to make that conscious decision. Like, oh, well, is it going to be easier for me to not kill the two officers? Maybe you've already killed one of them and, you know, the other one's injured. And you're like, well, he's probably going to die by accident by, like, Palpatine killing him. And so I don't really need to use this guy over here. Instead, I'll use him to walk over here and deny Vader from getting these points that he's standing next to this other shield generator or whatever. Something like that.
I think that is absolutely right. That's, like, one of the things that I have learned the most in terms of, like, the last year as I've gotten way more serious about Imperial Assault is just knowing how precious your actions are. And you got to think, like, a few activations ahead, right? In terms of like, just like you're saying, like in line with your game plan.
But do it quickly. Don't run into time.
Yes, indeed. Don't take time. Oh, Paul, I am all about fast time. I want Blitz IA. Everyone has got, you know, seconds for their moves. But awesome. Well, Paul, we want to thank you for coming on the podcast.
Sure, thanks.
We want to thank everyone for downloading. Again, join us on the Slack channel. Send an email to zionsfinestia@gmail.com as we are preparing for Worlds. Also, I know there's the Board Wars Discord, which is a great place to go find games. one of the channels on our Slack channel is Finding Games on Vassal. We are always looking for games and people to play games. So if all you want is to, you know, get on the Slack channel in order to, you know, schedule games for Vassal, you can totally do that. We would love to have you. But go, and we'd also like to encourage everyone to go to patreon.com/sciencefinest and give us some support. You will have some sweet alt art cards, like Paul was saying. I was inspired by X-Wing to get our alt art cards for Imperial Assault, which you will love at Worlds. And we are giving those out to all of our supporters. So we'd like to thank everyone for downloading, and everyone have an awesome day.